Appreciate that prayer, and I ask that all of you remember us in prayer as we endeavor to stand before you and speak from the Word of God, that the Lord would guide us and lead us and bless us to look at the things that we stand in need of for this particular occasion. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. I'd like to call your attention to a few verses here. In the sixth chapter of Ephesians, and begin reading in verse 1. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." The book of Ephesians is a very doctrinal book at the start, and we have a lot of valuable instruction in the doctrines that we believe and teach that are true from the early part of this book. But as in a pattern in Scripture, and as in, I believe, a pattern in even a sermon, doctrine should be immediately followed by works, because doctrine should inspire us to want to do better, to want to be better, and to desire to know how to do better. At the end of this book of Ephesians, he begins to tell us what we are to do, and you can back up in the fifth chapter as he talks about marriage and husbands and wives. And now in the sixth chapter, he's talking about how children should conduct themselves. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." That "in the Lord" part is very important, because sometimes your parents actually can cause you to disobey the Lord. And I remember when I was in the military, we were told that we were to obey lawful orders. That meant that someone could above us could give us an unlawful order, and we were not to obey that. Children should obey their parents as long as their parents are telling them things to do that the Lord has instructed us to do. This even follows with how we are to live in our life. We're to obey the law unless the law violates the law of God. The laws of the land, it is possible, could violate the laws of God. In that case, we are not to obey that law. When it comes to children obeying their parents, that needs to be in the Lord. I would say that most of the time, good godly parents are not going to give instructions that are contrary to the Word of God. And so it'd be pretty safe most of the time to just simply obey your parents. But if your parents are causing you to do something that's contrary to the Word of God, don't obey that. Obey your parents in the Lord. And he says, "For this is right." You know, it's important for us to do what's right and to know what's right. You hear a lot of people today talking about their rights. Well, let's not worry about our rights so much as realizing we have the freedom to do what is right, and we ought to do what is right. And it's right for children to obey their parents. You know, I think some of the problems we're having in society today is children are disobedient to parents. I don't think parents are really enforcing it like they ought to, but children are disobedient to their parents, and then that just makes the problems get worse from generation to generation. Here the Lord is teaching us how it is we are to have a good family dynamic, the way our families ought to be as children obeying their parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2, "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Now he says, "Honor thy father and mother." That's a direct quotation from the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, where it says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God doth give thee." And in Deuteronomy 5, it's stated again in a different way, as it says here in verse 3, "that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Now, this commandment, if you go to all the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, he says it's the first commandment with promise. The promise of if you keep this commandment, this is the promise that the Lord has promised you. In Exodus 20 is that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. If you want your days to be long on that land, that the promised land, this is speaking to the nation of Israel in this case, then you honor your father and your mother. If you don't honor your father and your mother, your days will not be long upon that land. And it will not be well with thee, and you won't live long on the earth. I think that has more reference to a nation. Yeah, I think individually, I suppose, that we could have long life. We could enjoy good seasons in that. I suppose that would be the case. But as a nation, that nation will not be there if, as a nation, children are not obeying their parents and honoring their father and their mother. It will not continue for long on that land. This is the promise. You keep this commandment, this is the promise you receive of the Lord. What does that mean? I'd like for us to think about this tonight. To honor your father and your mother. What does that mean? Well, we can stop and think how it is that you honor your father and your mother. I think part of that is in verse 1, obeying your parents, obeying them. I believe honoring your father and your mother, eventually children grow up and they move out of the house, but I don't believe honoring your father and mother stops when you move out of the house. I believe this is a lifetime endeavor. In fact, I believe this even goes on after your mother and father passed away. That I believe that if you made a promise to them that you should keep that even if they have passed away. I think about Brother Seth, tell me about his mother wanting him to mow the grass of that cemetery down towards Tylertown, and he's still doing it today. She's passed away, but he's still doing it. He's honoring his mother. I think about what does it mean to honor your father and your mother. I perhaps think about our father and mother, think of them as a king and queen to us. I was talking to Sister Esther, and she was talking about her trip to North Carolina. I didn't talk to her in detail, but she told me that they treated her like a queen over there. I tell you, that just thrills my heart. That thrills my heart to hear them treating her like a queen. That's honoring your father and your mother. Treating them like royalty to you. Esteeming them very highly in your thoughts, in your words, in your deeds. That's honoring your father and your mother. Treating them with the respect and the way that they and all the sacrifices they have made for you through the years and in your upbringing, how you are completely dependent upon them. They brought you through that and carried you through. It's only right, it's only fitting for us to honor our father and our mother. Even Jesus on the cross at Calvary, one of his last words he spoke there on the cross was towards his mother. He says, "Woman, behold thy son," John standing beside her. And he told John, "Behold thy mother." He was honoring his mother on that occasion to make sure she was cared for, she was provided for, even after he was gone. I'll tell you, in that honor, there might be a financial assistance. There might be some other assistance. There, whatever the case may be, whatever your father and mother stand in need of, honoring your father and your mother is filling that as their child. That, I believe, is the commandment. But I've heard some people that will talk about this text, and they'll say, "I was honoring my father and my mother, and when they said it in that context, they were disobeying the Lord." They said, "Well, I thought I should honor my mother and my father and do what they would want, but what they wanted was contrary to what the Word of God said." I tell you, that's where the honor stops. Even Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, "He that loveth his father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. I tell you, we are dishonoring our father and our mother when we claim to honor them and dishonor the Lord. In fact, let's stop and for the rest of our time, consider another father and mother that we have. You know, Jesus talks about, in fact, turn with me to John chapter 8. He talks about our heavenly Father. He talks about a Father that we have in heaven. And wouldn't it be appropriate? You know, I wonder why in the Lord would the law, would God in His law tell us to honor our father and our mother? You know, the Lord has given us some things here on earth to give us a picture of some greater things. The Lord gave us marriage. Marriage is a great blessing to us, and it helps us and helps us through life's pathway. But what marriage represents is a picture of Jesus and His bride, the church. And so a good, godly marriage is a picture of Jesus and His church. Lord gives us these pictures. That's why the Lord got so angry at Moses that time when he smote the rock and was supposed to speak to the rock because he marred the picture. The picture was to be, that was the second time that God produced water out of the rock. The first time he smote the rock, the second time he was to speak to the rock. What's the difference? What does it matter? Well, that rock, 1 Corinthians 10 tells us, that followed them was Jesus. And the picture was that Jesus was smote and the water came out. And the next time, Jesus was to be spoken to. You see, when it comes to us in our lifetime, Jesus has been smitten already. And that water came gushing out from that fountain. But we don't smite Him anymore. Now we speak to Him. Now we pray to Him. Now there's a communion, a fellowship, a relationship that's been established for us. And we're to speak to Him. And Moses marred the picture. Got angry. Why are we to honor our father and our mother? Because in doing so, there's a picture that's given to the child of God. When you see someone honoring their father and their mother, even if their mother and father are wanting some strange things, they're still doing it. You see a picture of a child of God towards His Heavenly Father. You see a picture of Jesus. Notice here in John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, he says, there's many things here, but we'll just have to get the part that is relevant in this case, where there's a lot discussed about fathers and how Jesus talks about His Father and the Father of the people that he is talking to, but he tells them here in verse 48, it says, "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me." Now notice what Jesus said He's doing. He says, I'm honoring my Father. Well, I believe that's our calling, is to honor our Heavenly Father. Say, well, how do we do that? Well, if you back up, Jesus tells them that He's telling them the truth. You know, I believe we honor God when we tell the truth. When we speak the truth and do it the way Jesus did, as we're instructed to speak the truth in love, that's honoring our Father. The Bible says many more things that we can do to honor our Father. In fact, in John chapter 15, He says, producing much fruit is a way that we glorify and honor God. But if you turn back with me to Proverbs chapter 30, I want to notice with you what it says here for us to do here in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. If we're to honor the Lord, honor our Father which is in heaven, then notice what He says here, how we're to do that. Proverbs 3 verse 9. He says, honor the Lord
with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. He says, honor the Lord with what? Your substance. You know, anything that we have is a blessing from God. Lord owns everything. And when we're dead and gone, it'll go to someone else. But the substance that we have, we should honor the Lord with. And notice what he says here, very specific. And with the first fruits of all thine increase. I remember when I was in school, they were trying to teach us about investing our money. And they said, you need to make sure that when you invest your money, when you get your paycheck, you do that first. Invest it first. And they called it like this, pay yourself first. That's the way it's described, pay yourself first. Well, they said, if you don't do that, you say, well, I'll just invest what's left over. There's never anything left over. There's never anything left. You've got to do it first or you won't do it at all. There's never anything left over. Well, I guess that's a good financial principle. But the better principle is to honor the Lord with the first of what you have. To take the first of what you get and give it to the Lord instead of a bank or some stock. Give it to the Lord first, the first fruits of all that increase. And notice what it says here. Thy barns shall be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. That's a promise. The promise is if you honor the Lord with your substance, use it to his glory and to his honor, then the Lord will bless you. There's no doubt about it. That's a promise from God. You know, I've been around some rich folks in the house of God, and I've seen them honor the Lord with their substance. I've seen some people that are so generous with what they have. The Lord blesses them with great riches, and they use it for the Lord and his kingdom. And that's a great value to that, a great blessing in that, in honoring the Lord with your substance. In fact, if you turn me to Psalm 26, I want to notice with you what the psalmist says here in the 26th psalm about honoring the Lord. In Psalm 26, verse 8, he says, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. He says, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house, God's house. Where does God dwell? But notice what he says here in this text. And the place where thine honor dwelleth. You know, if the Lord's honored anywhere in this earth, you know where it ought to be? Here in God's house. May we never come here and try to honor a man when this is a place where God's honor dwells. God is the one to be praised. God is the one worthy of our praise. In fact, when it comes to honoring him as our Father, we need to remember the last verse of Revelation chapter 4, where it says, Lord, thou art worthy to receive honor and glory and power, for by thy pleasure we are and were created. The fact that you and I even have an existence is owing to that God created us. We wouldn't even be here if the Lord hadn't put us here. That in itself is worthy of his honor and his praise. And not to mention, all the many ways the Lord has showered his blessings upon us. He gave us the gift of his Son. He gave us the gift of his Word. He gave us all these things. And isn't he worthy of praise and honor for that? If he's to be honored anywhere, it should be here in his house. And may we love that habitation. Now, before we run out of time, turn me to Galatians chapter 4. Because the text said, honor thy father and we have a heavenly father. Do we have a heavenly mother? Well, let's read Galatians chapter 4. He says in verse 26, we're going to cut right to the chase. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. He says Jerusalem, which is above, is free, not in bondage. There's no bondage. There is no slavery or servitude here. Jerusalem above is free and is the mother of us all. Now, what is that talking about? Is that talking about the church? Is that talking about heaven? Well, that word Jerusalem means peace, peaceable habitation. And Jerusalem is the name of that city in heaven we long to be a part of. But I would submit for your consideration tonight that Jerusalem extends down to the church. Notice in Hebrews chapter 12 where he says, "Ye are come unto Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem." Notice he says, "You've come to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem." Sounds like the church to me. And I would, you know, sometimes the lines get pretty muddy between the church and heaven. And the reason for that is this is a heavenly kingdom. This is a part of God's kingdom. It's a part of heaven itself. I'll tell you, the closest you'll ever be or feel to heaven, this side of glory, is here in God's house. That's the closest you'll ever feel. This is the heavenly Jerusalem. The church is to be your mother. And if the church is to be our mother, we are to honor this place. I want to notice with you some references in the book of Isaiah about how it is the church is our mother. Turn me to Isaiah chapter 66. And I want us to consider, as the Lord makes this description of what I'm going to submit for your consideration as the church, as our mother, that we see such similarities between what we see and read here and what a natural mother does. Notice here in Isaiah chapter 66, it says in, we're going to skip down into verse 8. He says, "Who hath heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God? Rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her." Verse 11, "That ye may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolations, that ye may milk out and be delighted with the substance, the abundance of her glory." Now that's a description of a mother to a child. But it's in the context of Jerusalem and Zion and what she's doing for her children. And this is the part that really bothers me about people in the church sometimes. That they go through that toddler stage. You know, we were talking Sunday night. We were over at Jenny's grandmother's house. The family had called for a meeting, got together, and we were over there and visiting with them and going through their stuff and trying to sort all that out. And there was a discussion about some of the mothers there that how the children behave differently towards their mother than they did their father. So the father just has to give a look, and the child behaves. So the mother can say whatever and do whatever, and they will not behave. Well, that's really tragic. After all the mother has done for that child, that mother has fed that child, that mother has gone through sleepless nights for that child, that mother's done all that for that child, and the least she can expect his good behavior in return. Well, I think about some of God's people who come to the Lord's house as babes in Christ, and they've been made to drink of the sincere milk of God's word, and they've taken part in the ordinances and baptism and communion, and been blessed by that and comforted by that, and yet they disobey and turn their back on the church. That dishonors our mother, our heavenly mother, the bride of our Father. That dishonors our heavenly mother. Notice it doesn't stop there. Verse 12, "For thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will extend peace to her like a river. Notice the Father providing. Our Heavenly Father, He provides. He takes care. He is a safety net to extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall you suck. Ye shall be born upon her sides, be dandled upon her knees, as one whom his mother comforteth. So will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Look at the father and mother working together for that child to comfort him. You know, some children, all the crying, all the pain, all the growing pains, all the whatever the pains they are, and the parents trying to comfort that child. That's what the Lord does for His people. And so His people, in return, what should they do? They should honor Him. Honor her, the church, the bride of Christ, after all that they have done for us. This is a vast subject. So much more could be said about it. But may we always remember all the days of our life to honor our father and our mother. And what a great picture that is of our Heavenly Father, Heavenly Mother, and the honor we should bestow upon them. I thank you for your good attention tonight.